Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Home Entertainment Center worth $3,000.
I never dreamed you'd leave in summer.
Ah, summery summer, the season of song. Gag me with a summer song like that one from the late 50s, Summer Place.
Summer breeze makes me feel fine.
Or there's this one from the 70s. Makes you want to pick up a snow shovel. Ah, the artistic crimes of pop music committed in the name of summer. Well, our friends at Soundcheck are on the lookout for a fugitive in 2015. Where's our summer song, huh? Where is it? The hot number that could even melt down that little Disney snowman. Soundcheck's John Schaefer is taking suggestions all week on the lookout, and he's determining a champion based on listener votes. He's here to help us understand the peculiar musical muse of summer. John Schaefer, why do we even need to go here? We've got Summer Place. We've got Summer Breeze. How do you top those? We're done.
Those aren't even on our list of contenders for the ultimate summer song.
Well, we need a summer song for this year, that's for sure. There's nothing really out there.
Not yet, which is surprising because normally we've heard the song of the summer by this point. But what we're talking about today are the songs that survive their initial summer and become kind of perennials. To use a gardening metaphor, there are lots of annuals. You know, a song will come up. It'll be the song of 2004 or the song of 2010. We're looking for the songs that are coming back year after year.
Timeless elm trees or summer. Yes.
Well put, John.
Well put. All right. So give us your first one.
Well, like, you know, the Love and Spoonful song, Summer in the City. I mean, come on. Hot Town, Summer in the City. Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty.
Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk hotter than a match, yeah.
It's such a humid, summery. You feel hot just listening to it.
Now, wasn't this kind of protest-based? I mean, wasn't this sort of political, this song, originally?
Well, I don't think so, but it's funny you should mention that because another one of our contenders is a song that accidentally became associated with the political movement of the 1960s with inner city riots and things like that, and that's the Martha and the Vandellas song called Dancing in the Streets. It was a completely innocent kind of summer experience. The song is about watching kids in Detroit playing in the water from a fire hydrant in the street. And it became kind of adopted as an anthem in the middle, late 60s, to the bemusement and consternation, really, of Martha Reeves, who, when asked about it, said, "Oh, Lord, it's just a dance song." I mean, that was her exact quote. It's just a song about dancing.
There's a certain irony in it being associated with those times, but I remember it that way. I mean, I grew up with this song, and it was always associated with those hot summers of the 60s.
And I think that might have kind of made it a summer song after the fact. You know, I think it took a few years for that kind of association with this song to fade away before it could really kind of take its place in this list of perennials that comes back summer after summer.
Any deliberate summer song, a song that maybe never intended to be eternal, that clearly was going for that summer moment that lasted?
I think Alice Cooper's stroke of genius was identifying the end of the school year as a seasonal thing that happened every year that did not have a song.
When we got no choice.
Looking for a song that you know, his first thought was Christmas. But that's such a crowded field. And here he was identifying something that everyone looked forward to every year.
When you listen to that, it sounds like he's talking about we're all going to prison, but actually we're being released this summer.
It's the release from prison. Yes. How many generations of kids now, since the early 70s, have sung that chorus, "School's out for summer"? I mean, it is, as I said, genius.
My kids.
And that sort of goes to one of the other things about this kind of the ultimate song of the summer. It's something that has to span generations. Not just it survives its summer, but, you know, now we've got a second or even third generation of kids who sing "School's Out" every year.
Sure.
And also, you need to have some kind of sing-along quality. You need a chorus that people just feel like singing when they're tooling on down the highway with the windows rolled down. And "School's Out" certainly has that.
What other songs? I mean, there's certainly a lot of songs with summer in the title and a lot of songs with summery stuff in
the
title. Yeah,
you know, with a song like, I mean, to take a recent example, it's very hard to determine which of the summer songs that we've had in the past, say, 5 years are going to still be with us 5 or 10 years down the road. But, you know, one that has as good a shot as any is the song "Get Lucky" by Daft Punk. There's nothing overtly summery about it, but if you go back to the "Love and Spoonful" song, you know, the chorus is, "At night it's a different world, go out and find a girl." Here's the girl of that song, you know, she's out all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up
all night to get lucky. All right, so how does everybody get involved in your longitudinal attempt to identify the perfect summer song?
Well, we have put together a list of the major contenders, the classics, and some of the more recent contenders, possibly. And it's real simple. Just check your favorite, the one that you think is the ultimate song of the summer, and we will tally up the results and report back.
Does the Vivaldi summer movement from the Seasons have a chance?
It did not make our list. Really? I suppose you could write it in.
Maybe I will.
We're really talking about pop songs that pass the windows down test. You know, certainly the Daft Punk song does that, but I'm not sure the Vivaldi does.
Vivaldi with the windows down. It sounds like a band. John Schaefer, host of Soundcheck and New Sounds at our partner station WNYC, and you can go to thetakeaway.org to vote and be a part of all of this. John, thanks so much.
Thank you, John. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky.
We're up all night to get lucky. And you're taking our conversation on race with you today. Colin from Gainesville, Florida. Ms. Dolezal's case reminded me of a quote by the sociology professor Ruben Rumbach, that race is a pigment of our imagination. While there are certain physical characteristics inherent within each racial group, these are becoming less overt and less dichotomous with immigration and acculturation. And Ms. Dolezal is a prime example of how a good wig and a bottle of self-tanner can so successfully reclassify traits that we so vehemently hold to be biologically determined.
Hi, my name is Mary. I'm from Portland, Oregon. And as far as the topic today, I would say that race is determined by biology. No matter what race you are, there are so many ways in which a person can enrich a community without trying to be something that you're not.
That's all for today, but keep the conversation going. Give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Send us a tweet at The Takeaway. You can find me at Jay Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by Citrix, creator of GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses in face-to-face online meetings from any device, featuring a personalized meeting room for a custom look. Learn more at GoToMeeting.com. The Henry Luce Foundation, for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
PRI, Public Radio International.